Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcasts. From the Defon LeRoy Recording Studios in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida, and Westerly, Rhode Island, this is episode 194 of the Por Favor, Manténganse Alejado de las Podcast. I'm Mike down in sunny Southwest Florida, joined by Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly, Rhode Island. Mr. Klinsman, good evening, and how are you?
Good evening, I'm well. How are you, Bill?
Doing good, thanks.
That's good, that's good. This is what, restart number 4 or 5 here with these technical difficulties this evening?
Yes, it is. It's like my Mickey with my MGM Studios holding that. And action.
It's always, whenever we do it like last minute, you know, if we were doing this on Tuesday, it would go all smoothly, no problem.
Or we could just say scrap it and we'll start again on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Friday evening, we're down to the crunch time, and it's now or never, and it's, you know, both of our computers are giving us problems. Skype's not cooperating. All things that become old hat here at the Defont LeRoy Studios. I think your construction budget's really putting a hamper on our infrastructure and our technology budget.
I know. Yeah, I'm close. I got about 6 weeks, I think, left.
We take from one bucket and add it to the other, mm-hmm. and you know, all of a sudden, we get a little empty on the technology side.
Exactly.
I haven't heard from Eugene in like 6 weeks. I don't know what's going on here.
He may have left the organization.
You think so? Without warning, just no call, no show.
Yeah, no call, no show. Like they do at the golf course.
That's not good, is it?
No. Especially, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, we gave him a hard time, but he was our best man.
He was
the best. Which isn't saying much.
No, he was the best guy we had.
Yes, he was, and he was still pretty bad.
And he was pretty bad.
But he was the best we had, and he was ours, so that's all that matters.
Eugene Melkoff.
Yes. So, unfortunately, he's no longer with Por Favor Industries. I mean, he hasn't been cashing his checks.
Well, we haven't been paying him either, so there's that.
It's harder to track in that regard. You're right. Well, that's okay. I guess we'll soldier on. We'll do our best here. What's new with you down in Florida? How's things going?
The windows are open. It's good sleeping weather. Haven't run the air conditioning in about a week.
Good sleeping weather.
You can hear the crickets. It's lovely.
Well, you can hear the heat running at my house almost constantly now because it's been cold nights. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I hate that noise.
Cold nights, short days, gets dark at like 4:30. Ugh, so miserable. Leave in the morning, it's dark. Get home at night, it's dark. It's just not fun this time of year. We get ice melt at work now. People talking about ice melt and snow plows and stuff. I don't like that.
You don't, do you?
No. I mean, I enjoy this next month or so. I really like. I like Thanksgiving, I like Christmas, the lead up to Christmas, because despite what you see in pop culture where it always snows in every Christmas movie, it hardly ever snows before Christmas in Rhode Island.
That is correct.
So I don't mind it. I don't mind the cold. I'm not like you where the cold makes me miserable, it's just the snow that really gets to me. And usually we make it through December with maybe one little, you know, 3-inch storm or something like that, not too bad, but it's end of January and all of February that really give you the run for the money. Up in Rhode Island and New England. But hopefully this next month will be good. You get to enjoy all the fun Christmassy type activities that we do. We've got a big weekend planned, Billy.
Let's hear about this.
Going to one of my favorite places to do this time of year, Yankee Candle, the factory store this weekend.
Have you ever eaten up there?
Not at the restaurant. They have like I'll use the Disney term. I haven't done at the table serve. I've done the quick serve there.
I didn't even know that they had a quick serve
up there. The Chandler Inn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they have the sit-down restaurant, and then they have this little, like, deli kind of thing that's right in the middle of the joint, and it's still run by them, so you can get, like, sandwiches or soup. They have, like, mac and cheese, some smaller stuff. We usually just get, you know, grilled cheese sandwiches or something like that, and it's nice. We sit there in the middle of all the hustle and bustle and have our lunch.
Oh,
but you're
boy.
Saying the sit-down's pretty good, though?
Yeah, I've done the sit-down with my mom a couple times. It's pretty good. It's just
Is it a one-credit or a two-credit?
It's just a single credit.
A single credit?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll check it out. We'll see how long we're there. If we're there close to dinner time, maybe we can do a little sit-down meal.
Do you have Culver's dirt up in Rhode Island?
Culver's? No.
Oh, it's good.
What is that? Is that a supermarket?
No, restaurant? It's a fast food joint, and like they originated in Wisconsin, but they got them down here in Florida. And oh, Billy, they got the Butterburger, and I'm just watching a commercial, and they're showing them flip it.
What the hell is that? It sounds amazing.
Oh, it's a Butterburger. I don't know how to explain it other than to say it's a Butterburger. Their French fries are fresh. It's like it's a fast food, but yet it's like made to order. Like during Lent. Years ago, I used to have their fish and chips, and they were to die for. Like, this place, Culver's, is fantastic. Fantastic. We might
Let's get back to this Butterburger. Is it, like, just a hamburger cooked in butter, or does it have, like, a stick of butter on top?
Yeah, I don't know the true definition of a Butterburger. You might have to look it up.
I'll have to Google that, yeah. Yeah, that will be, that could be some homework for me this evening.
Culver's is good. Everything's good. Their chicken nugget, everything on their menu is good. And then they have, to top it off, Billy, they got frozen custard.
Oh, instead of ice cream, they got the custard. That's a big thing up in upper Midwest, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like a St. Louis thing.
Yeah, I went to Ted Drew's and Ted Drew's frozen custard in St. Louis, Missouri.
Is that the original or like the famous one?
Yeah, that's a famous one. It's been like on food TV and stuff.
Oh, very nice.
We did the Anheuser-Busch outlet and then... the tour, and then we went to Ted Drew's. This is Eric.
That is Eric. That's very true. So all the Rubes are, now, some of them are arriving, but you said a lot of people are leaving because heading of up. The holidays, right?
Heading up, spending the holidays with the family up north. Got to get in the Christmas spirit. You can't get in that down here in Florida.
No, it's too warm.
Too warm.
Nothing Christmassy down there. It's not like you can go to Magic Kingdom and see probably one of the nicest decorated places in the world for Christmas. Or even, we can get into this a little bit in the media episode, but I have to say Hollywood Studios stepped up their Christmas decoration game big time this year.
Mm.
So we'll get into that. But yeah, you can't get in the Christmas spirit down there, right? Nothing to do.
No, I was at the pet store this afternoon, and they were playing Christmas music, and it just, again, it feels weird. I got my Nike sandals, my shorts, and my t-shirt on.
They play like, Melekalikimaka is the thing to say.
That always reminds me of Christmas Vacation.
Oh, that's a great scene, isn't it?
Oh, God.
I love that. That's such a good movie. That's one of my favorite Christmas movies, Christmas Vacation.
That thing's so dumb. He's just draining his mud. He's got his bathrobe on. He's like drinking a beer, smoking a cigar, just pouring mud out of the hose. And you know Uncle Eddie's mud is not good mud. I mean, not that there's good mud, but there's like bad mud and not so bad mud, if you will.
Yeah, I know. I don't necessarily want to get into the specifics, but...
You don't want to discuss Cousin Eddie's mud?
No.
Okay.
I'd rather not, but I know what you're saying. It's all bad, but there can be particularly bad stuff.
Correct.
As a dog owner, I'm sure you're well aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's some that are easy to scoop up and some that, even with the plastic bag over your hand, you're probably not looking forward to it.
Speaking of, knock on wood.
Oh, boy.
Guess what he took liberty to do last night?
Uh-oh. Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, you'll probably laugh, but no, I was not happy.
Okay.
He had the last bite of Susie's meatball sandwich.
Oh, like, not offered, he just...
Correct, not offered. She got up to do something. She has to sit at the kitchen table because she can't sit on the couch because he jumps all over her.
Right.
So she sits at the kitchen table, and she went up to get something, and he was able to get his front paws on the seat and pull himself up, and I look over, and he's down on the ground chewing on something. I go, what does he have? He's like, that son of a... He's got my meatball sandwich. I'm like, wow.
Was there a lot left? Was there like a piece of meatball, or was it mostly bread at that point?
No, it was probably like a half a piece of meatball, but he, this dog, he has no fear. He has zero fear. He's like a monkey. He'll jump from the hassock to the love seat, to the couch, back to the hassock. I mean, he's ridiculous.
He's got a lot of energy, huh?
Oh, he's awful. I mean, this morning he was drinking my coffee.
Oh, jeez. Oh, well, no wonder he's jumping around.
Yeah, he gets can't up on him, the couch. No, I don't give it
help,
to him.
Did that help him mud, though?
Well, luckily, because I said, look, dude, I said, you're not going. I said, I'm going to let you out. And I let him out, and it was solid. And I said, if you got issues, you're going in your crate, and you're going to deal with the consequences, because I'm not letting you all over the house. But yeah, knock on wood, tough. Again, he didn't have any serious issues. But
now, this is like puppy stuff, and they usually mellow out once they get fixed, right?
We brought him to the vet to get his shots, and he's got to go 6 months.
Oh, that long, huh?
Yeah, because she said, you know, we like to have him have his stuff and like start becoming a young man before we take it all away from them.
Oh, that's kind of messed up, but it's messed up if you really think about it.
Yeah, but I guess they want them to like to learn what it's like, because you can't let them keep them unless you're breeding, because they get different forms of cancer and they mark, and they're just not good. They don't need those.
No. I don't know. It kind of seems worse to let them know what it's like a little bit and then be like, all right, let's take it away. Like, if he never knew.
Yeah, but it's not like he's going to go across the street and bang the next door neighbor's golden, and then we stop it all of a sudden. You know, it's not. He doesn't really know much.
You never know. 6 months. I guess 6 months only is like what, 3.5 in dog years.
Yes, give or take. Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah, I guess so. I guess we'll let it slide then. Would you like to hear about my unofficial beer sponsor of the week? As a no segue from that into anything else, is there?
Go ahead, Mr. Klinsman.
So I have the Big Elm Brewing American Lager, brewed and canned with pride in the Berkshires of Sheffield, Massachusetts. This is kind of like a beer-flavored beer. This is one that you would probably enjoy. It's somewhere in between like a Budweiser and a Narragansett.
The left fielder, Gary Sheffield. Did you like my Bob Shepherd?
That was a good one.
That was pretty good, wasn't it?
Don't you have to say Sheffield again, though?
The way he would do it would be like... Number two, Derek Jeter, shortstop, number two.
Okay, there you go. I always thought he said the name twice, but you know better. You're definitely the announcer guy here.
Sherm Feller of the Red Sox, number 26, Wade Boggs, third base, Boggs.
Okay, maybe I'm getting him confused.
Yeah, Sherm Feller was the longtime Red Sox public address announcer.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Anything else you want to add here before we take a little break?
No, I'm good, Billy. We can go to break.
All right, let's take a quick break.
That sounds good to me, Jurgen. Number three, Jurgen. Back from break. This is episode 194 of the Por Favor podcast. Mr. Klinsman is joining me up in Westerly, as always.
Yes, sir.
I'm excited about this episode.
Oh, yes. We have a good couple episodes coming up these next
couple of episodes. Yep. Right through Thanksgiving, and then we'll get into the Christmas holiday season.
Yes, exactly. We got a trip review, part one of two. So last week we did a little dining review where you and I had mutual meals, so we talked about that. But this week we're going to go more in depth on my full trip report. And I guess since we're going to split it up into two, we might as well just do chronological order. That would make the most sense, don't you think?
I think so, Billy, just so that our listeners could pay close attention, don't you think?
Yes, I agree.
Okay.
So we'll start at the beginning then, and I left TF Green Airport.
Which stands for Theodore Francis Green.
Theodore Francis Green, Warwick, Rhode Island. Even though it's considered the Providence Airport, it's Warwick.
Now, did you drive to Frank's house?
I went the night before to Frank's house, and then we went to Por Favor Catherine's house, and she dropped us off at the airport, and I left my car at Catherine's house, and because she lives very close to the airport. Got on the plane, no problems. I had pre-check, TSA pre-check.
What's that mean, that you passed your terrorist rating?
Well, no, because I was on the same ticket with my parents. They always get it because they're getting up there in years. I guess they give the, I don't know, I'll kind of tread lightly here, but the best generation, is that what they are? Whatever.
A bunch of old fuddy-duddies is what
they call them. The old fuddy-duddies, sure. They get to go through. They don't have to take off their shoes and belts and all that stuff. So I got lumped in with them. So security was a breeze. I didn't have to take the shoes off. Didn't have to take the belt off. Just had to empty my pockets and put the bag through the scanner. You just walk through like an old-school metal detector. You don't have to put your hands up over your head and do all that nonsense. Just got right through. Picked up the bags. Went over and
got a nice coffee over at Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes, the line.
Oh, how did I predict this?
The line for Dunkin' Donuts was probably twice as long as the security line. There were like a good 30, 40 people in front of us at the Dunkin' Donuts line. It was crazy. They actually had to bring like crowd control out to tell people, all right, everyone move to the side so you don't block the hallway. But we still had plenty of time to get the coffees and the muffin and get ready for the flight. So what else? We had that going. I did have a new experience, which I messaged you about, and you were very, I don't know if you were impressed or disgusted, but I did have to take a mud break on the plane on the way down to Orlando, which is a first for me.
Now, just let's break this down real quick. Exactly sure. What happened?
I think it was just the coffee. You know how I had that morning coffee, everything got moving, and I don't know if it's because I'm a nervous flyer, you know, just got everything going for me. But it was, it was actually, I wasn't planning on it when I went into the bathroom, but then I'm in there, and I'm about to go number one, and you could feel that rumble in mm-hmm. your stomach, mm-hmm. and you might want to let a little gas go, but it was like, it was one of those where I was like, this is a 50-50 chance, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to lose that bet on a plane.
There's nowhere to go. You can't go back to your house to change.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I did have a change of undies in my carry-on, but I think that would look a little suspicious.
Obvious when you come walking it.
start like rifling through, pull out a new pair of boxer shorts. Oh. So I was like, you know what, I can't take this chance. So I sat down and did my business, and everything came out just fine.
Now,
a little cramped in there.
Oh, I would imagine. Now, you don't get internet up there, so what the hell were you reading?
I did. There was Wi-Fi on the plane, but I didn't buy. I was trying to do as quick as possible. This was a pure business transaction, no pleasure. It was not it wasn't one of those nice, relaxing ones. This was an in and out as quick as possible.
You didn't like you're at home, like kind of cracked the door, say, "Hey Sue, throw me the Southwest magazine." You didn't
No, I didn't. No. I didn't bother with that. So I made that happen. That was a first for me.
Did the family all give you that look like they knew what you were doing?
No, I was quick. Quick enough that it wasn't even that obvious. It was probably like total of 3 minutes in and out.
Yeah, but usually when you have that dire feel. Usually, like, you sit down and you do the pancake, and then you know that you got to sit there because there's more to go. You didn't run into that problem.
No, it was actually luckily very quick and easy, so that was good. Mm-hmm. And the flight itself, I have to say, excellent flight. No turbulence, went quick, good landing, good takeoff. My ears didn't get bothered like they usually do, so was very happy about that. Go through the Orlando airport.
Get into Orlando at about 9:30, quarter to 10 in the morning, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Get on the Magical Express over to the All-Star Resorts. We go up to the front desk, and this will become important in a little bit. Say, all right, we're here early, wondering if our room is ready. No, the room's not ready, but you'll be in building number 3 on the second floor, and we'll text you when your room's ready. So, all right, no problem. We leave our bags, and we go to Hollywood Studios. We end up, we're there about 11:30. We get to Hollywood Studios through the gates. I upgraded my ticket to a park hopper at that point. So even after that, we were like through the gates at 11:30. And we decided we wanted to get something to eat, so we were going to go to the Brown Derby Lounge, but they don't open till noon. I didn't know that, so they were closed when we got there. So we walked down Sunset Boulevard and watched some of the Citizens of Hollywood. They did a little skit, and that was very good, and that took us up to just about noon. We went in, we got the last table at the lounge, sat down, had a couple appetizers and some drinks for our lunch, and would you like to hear more about the food and drinks that we
Yes, please. Yes, please.
This is what you're here for. So I'm actually going through my pictures on my phone. This is helping me remember everything. I had a Bloody Mary, extra spicy, very good Bloody Mary. And you asked me because it's made with the pepper vodka instead of regular vodka.
Frank's favorite Bloody Mary on property, if I believe.
That's what he said. It's very good. I think the one at Rainforest is a little better of the ones I've had, but this was very good. Definitely a good Bloody Mary. Por Favor Sue had the Margarita Flight, which had, I forget, three, just like a traditional one, maybe a watermelon. I forget what they were. She liked them. We got the cheese and charcuterie plate, which is very, very tasty, I have to say. It had some prosciutto, some blue cheese, some bread, some like shredded duck confit, some pate, maybe a cheddar, and a couple other hard cheeses on there. But it was very, very good, very tasty. I ended up eating most of it because Frank and Sue don't like blue cheese, and they weren't too thrilled about the pate. So I ate like all the blue cheese, all the pate, and most of the duck because they didn't really want to go with that. And then we got the Cobb salad as well, which is a pretty good deal. It's only like $10 at that joint. It's smaller.
I've had it there.
So it's good for one. We kind of split it, so it's small to split, but it was enough for with the cheese plate for three people to share. So we did that, and then we kind of just made our way around Hollywood Studios. There's not a whole heck of a lot to do there, as I'm sure you're aware of now. Movie rides closed. I mean, Tower of Terror was a long wait because half of the elevators were broken, so that was like a 120-minute wait. So we ended up going seeing the Muppet Show, and then we got the heck out of Hollywood Studios and took the boat over to Epcot. And we went into Epcot and tried out our first filth offering at Food and Wine at the Ireland booth. We got this sausage with an onion gravy on mashed potatoes, which was pretty good. The sausage was not what I expected because, I mean, you probably would expect like a savory sausage on that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yes.
But it was like a sweet breakfast sausage. It was like the same sausage you get with the eggs at Disney breakfast.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
I mean, the sausage, it was fine. There was nothing wrong with the sausage. It just didn't go with the rest of it. But the potatoes and the gravy, I could have eaten like a whole 5-gallon bucket of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It was good. That gravy was fantastic. The caramelized onion gravy with the potatoes, very good. While we were at Epcot, we ended up going over to the show that replaced Captain EO, the Disney Pixar Short Film Festival, because they had actually updated a couple of the films in there. So we saw that. It was good. Then we headed back over to Hollywood Studios because we had a couple fast passes and a dinner reservation there. So we went back over, did Tower of Terror with the fast pass. So luckily we had the fast pass because it was such a long wait. And I have to say, this still at this point, this is like 4:30, 5 o'clock. We still haven't gotten the text on our room. So, you know, no big deal. We're just out enjoying the parks. We're in no rush to get back. Figures just to oversight. Just haven't gotten the text yet. So as we continue to walk around, we go over to Mama Melrose for our dinner reservation.
That would be Mama Mel Melnix.
Oh, excuse me. I always say that wrong. Mama Mel Melnix. And as we're waiting, I say, you know what? I'm going to call the resort because this time it's like 6:45, because that's actually, no, it's after 7, because our reservation was 7:55, I believe. So I call up, and I say, all right, we checked in at 10:30 this morning, and we still haven't gotten a text on our room, what's going on? They say, okay, hold on 1 second, we'll get you in contact with the front desk. So they put me through to the front desk, I talk to someone there, and she's like, oh, well, let me look into this. And you get put on hold for like 5-6 minutes. She's like, I'm going to have to send you over to someone in operations. I'm like, oh boy. So we get sent over someone on hold, and they're telling me, give me this whole runaround, not really sure what's going on, but basically, we didn't have a room yet, and they're like, well, we'll see if we can find you something, please hold. So now I'm on hold again.
And you're thinking you're going to get upgraded to a moderate or deluxe.
Oh, that's what I was, really thinking that. I was like, oh, maybe they'll be like, we don't have anything for you, but there's a room at Wilderness Lodge available if you'd like it.
You could have just Barones and said something about breastfeeding.
That's true. I need a refrigerator.
Pull one of those, yeah.
Yeah. So we eventually they came back on. Okay, you're in building 6 on the 3rd floor, blah, 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 blah. I was like, all right, that's strange because, as I said earlier, they told me what floor and what building we were supposed to be on, so I don't really know what happened. But we ended up getting the room. We were fortunate enough that we didn't have to, like, wait any longer when we got back because it would have been a long day. You get back from dinner, a long late night at the parks, and then you got to sit around and wait for a room to be ready at 8, 9 o'clock. So fortunately, that wasn't the case. We got the room. But as you're aware, that room was about as far away as you could get, Building 6 at the All-Star Music.
It was out there.
It was out there. And
I mean, it took a quarter tank of gas just to get from the gate to the
building 6 when I arrived. That's correct. So we made it work. It was fine. The room was fine. The resort is fine. I mean, it's basically like Pop Century with a worse food court, a much worse food court. But it's... The rooms aren't much different than Pop, although they're refurbing the rooms there, so the old rooms at Pop are very similar to the rooms at the All-Star. The layout is similar, the big icons, you know, the walkways in the middle. Nothing wrong with it. I mean, you walked around. It's the last hotel that you had to step foot on Disney property. Is that correct, sir?
That is correct. Saratoga Springs and was the previous All-Stars. Ones, and then All-Stars, yes.
And you saved the best for last.
I did save the best for last.
What did you think about the... I mean, you didn't spend a whole heck of a lot of time there, but what... I mean, as far as the value goes, what did you think?
I honestly thought it was much less than Pop. I like Pop. Now, the bed was comfortable, the room was fine, but I think the food court at Pop's better. I think the grounds are prettier.
Yeah.
If you can have a pretty... And I think it's kept up. I think that basically they don't give a crap about the All-Stars, to be honest. Like, in the mud room, in the girls' room, it had one of those flickering lights like you had a Motel 6. Like, you put the light on, and you'd hear the zzz, zzz, and then it would finally go on. And then the paint job, like, you saw, like, the big, you know, tears in the eyes drips.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all over. And I'm like, that's just not Disney quality. I just don't think they really give a crap about that resort.
Sure. Seeing they cut some corners there.
Yeah, and I just don't think that they've gone in and fixed anything. I don't know. I love Pop.
Yeah, Pop's really nice. I have to say, I mean, we enjoyed the pool. The pool was pretty nice.
Yeah, the pool's okay, but nothing I just think like it's definitely I think it's a huge step below Pop.
See, I don't know, but I wouldn't say huge. I would say it's a step below. Like, given the choice, I would definitely pick Pop 10 times out of 10, but... That's mostly based on the food court and the lobby and everything.
And I think for the price difference, too, like the All-Stars are usually only $10 cheaper than Pop. And I'd pay 20 more for Pop.
Yeah, sure. Definitely. But overall, I have to say, it wasn't terrible. The bus service was pretty good. I didn't have really any issues with the buses. I know that has been an issue in the past because all three resorts can share the buses at times. And that only happened a couple times for us, like in the down times of the day where they picked up or dropped off at the other resorts. Usually we had a dedicated bus, which was good. But let's get back to the important stuff, the
food.
Yes,
please. Enough with the All-Stars. Can we get back to Mama Mel Melnick's?
Billy, you did not overstate this place. Here, I had a little trepidation going into it, I have to say. Because, as you know, Por Favor Frank and I don't necessarily
see eye to
share
eye.
The same
culinary
critical...
Right.
Sure. Like, something that he likes, I like it, but it's not a place that I'm like, oh, I gotta go there.
So what you're saying is that you were concerned because this is one of Frank's favorites, and you thought for sure that you were not gonna like it.
Well, not only that, there were other people that also really enjoy it that I don't necessarily trust the opinions of. Maybe Por Favor Amanda.
Point taken.
saying that it's the best, and I've heard that she's not, like, the most adventurous eater. So I'm like, all right, this could be, like, really bland, just, like, run-of-the-mill stuff. But, I didn't have high expectations, but I was hoping for the best,
Billy,
and expecting the worst.
Billy, for me, my mom made a reservation there on our first Disney trip in years. And I said, is this... Because, you know, my mom, she was a total Rhode Island foodie. There's nothing better than the food in Rhode Island. Everything's right. Second class. And I said, how is this joint? She said, I like it a lot. So I said, okay, that's fair. And then when I first ate there, I just fell in love with it.
It's like a Twin Oaks. It reminds me a lot of Twin Oaks in a lot of ways.
It's got meats, it's got fishes, it's got Italian. I think the Italian's better. I think the Italian there is better than Twin Oaks, though.
You think so?
Yeah, Twin Oaks is a little bland.
Yeah, it can be. But I got the steak. I didn't have really the Italian. We got the calamari.
Don't mess around with it. No, not when they have that steak.
You get it.
You get it. All right, so you had some calamari. You shared a couple small plates. Fabulous. Let's talk about the steak, please.
This steak, Billy, was very good. It's your run-of-the-mill strip, which is fine. It's not like the choicest cut. I mean, you're not getting it at Shula's or Yachtsman.
No, it's a little grizzly. It's on the thinner side for.
I wouldn't say it was grizzly. It was just wasn't like aged or anything. Right. You know, it's just the regular run of the mill. Nothing wrong with it. Perfectly fine steak, and it was very good. They cooked it just how I asked for it. But that sauce, Billy, is so good.
Did Frank teach you how to dip the bread?
We talked about it beforehand, yep. But I basically used it up with the macaroni and the steak anyway.
I'm not joking. You can't leave an ounce of that on the plate, can you?
No, it was gone. It was gone. Now, I'm not usually a guy who needs a lot of sauce on his steak. Like, if a steak's cooked well and it's a good piece of meat, a little salt, a little pepper, maybe some like garlic powder or something when you cook it, but you don't need to soak a steak in a lot of sauce. But this sauce was just so good.
It's more of a natural juices soft though sauce. It's not like an A1.
No, but it's got a. It was like I think it was a wine based sauce, like a Merlot or something. Mm-hmm. But it was very good. It complemented it very well. But I have to say, the star of that dish is that macaroni.
It's a good mac and cheese.
That mac and cheese with the little bits of pancetta in there, so good.
You can feel your heart valves start to close when you're eating that, can't you?
It's so rich. Like, I was saying, as I was eating it, I was like, I could eat a full portion of this. Like, if this was my meal, I'd be happy. But I don't think you could eat a full portion of that because it's so rich and dense.
Yeah, you'd break into one of those food sweats, food
yes,
coma.
Yes, you're exactly yep. right. It's amazing when the steak is the light part of the meal on the plate. It's like, hold on, I gotta take a break. Let me take a couple bites of the steak so I can calm down. But everything was very, very good. I had the dessert trio sampler, which had like a little piece of cheesecake, a little tiramisu, and a little blood orange cake, and they were all pretty good. The tiramisu was probably the best of the three.
Pronounced tiramisuzzi.
No, tiramisuzzi. Yeah, they were good. The desserts were good. Had a cup of coffee and dessert, and very enjoyable dinner. Good way to end your first night. It was a place I would 100% go back to, and I would 100% recommend.
Good.
It's great. That one dish was fantastic, but a lot of other things on the menu really intrigued me, like the cioppino, the seafood stew they have, sounded
yep,
really
Susie,
good.
Susie's had that, yep.
The penne alla vodka, which is one of my favorite ways to have pasta, sounded very good as well. Frank had the chicken parmesan, he said is very good, so there's a lot of good options on that menu.
Did Sue go with? Did she?
She got the steak as well. Yeah, we got two steaks and a chicken parm at the table.
Because I went with the special when I went with I went with Sue and your dad's friend from the golf course.
Oh, Lauren, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I ended up getting, I think, a flounder. I got whatever the fish special was.
The fish of the day. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a big fish guy at restaurants.
Yes, I do love me some good fish.
But I mean, the problem I would have going back is I don't know if I could go off that steak. As much as I'd like to try the other stuff, I think I'm stuck on that steak because it was so good.
You're right. Yep.
So that was a good start. Really great meal. Enjoyed it. The atmosphere in there was really nice. It was dead in there. Like, there was a couple tables occupied in there. It was actually kind of weird because they made us wait, like, right until our reservation time to seat us, even though we checked in, like, 20 minutes early. And we go in and there's just no one sitting there. I don't understand why they do that. They did that a lot at the restaurants at Disney. I don't know if you've noticed that. If you mm-hmm. check in early, they just make you wait even when it's not crowded, which was kind of strange, but whatever. It was fine. Very good meal. Now we'll stick with the filth because the next morning, we had like a late start. We had a 10 o'clock reservation at Kona Cafe for breakfast. And I know this is another one of your favorites. So how's that for back-to-back meals? Mama Mel Melnick's and Kona Cafe.
So you take the bus to the Magic Kingdom, monorail, back to the Poly.
We actually took the boat instead of the monorail. So we took the boat over to the Poly.
Oh,
but that's
so you
correct.
Just got off the bus and just walked five steps over to the boat launch.
To the boat launch,
yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
Nice boat ride over to Kona. And I have to say, I'm just going to make a comment here, and I'm sure you're not going to disagree with it.
The floor is yours, Jurgen. Go ahead.
But we're in this place, and, you know, Kona's a popular breakfast spot, but the line for that Ohana breakfast is, like, around the lobby, like, you're waiting in front of that gift shop just to check in. And I'm sitting there eating my breakfast, enjoying it immensely, looking at this, like, nice, small, laid-back location. I'm like, you couldn't pay me. You couldn't pay me to go to Ohana for breakfast right now. After what I've heard about the food there, I mean, the dinner's good. The breakfast doesn't do anything for me. Obviously, it's a meet and greet. It's more for the kids. But, man, I was looking at those people. I was like, they're all suckers. I mean, they could be having one of the best breakfasts. I don't think that's the word. Best breakfasts that you could possibly have on property. And they're sitting over there waiting for some lousy scrambled eggs and some potatoes on a platter. That was just one of those things where I was just sitting there kind of like, I'm in the right place. Out of the two choices right here, I'm in the right spot for sure.
Now talk to me about the about what everybody went with, because I've had almost everything on that menu.
Okay, so I was able to convince everyone that we should do a three-way split. So we all ordered something different. I ordered the Tonga toast with a side of the ham. Por favor, Sue ordered the macadamia nut pancakes with pineapple sauce on top. And Frank ordered that Loco Moco, which was like the hamburger with rice and a chorizo gravy with eggs and salsa on top. So we all just shared it and split. And actually, Frank got a side of cheesy grits to go with it, which was like, as we talked about last week, remember that side of biscuits and gravy I got?
Correct.
And we were saying, oh, $5. It was huge. The same thing. It was like $4.50, and it was like a soup bowl full of grits, like so much for $4.50 on the side. Now, you've had the Tonga toast, and you loved it.
And I liked the strawberry.
The strawberry topping. Sauce was fantastic. I have to agree with you on that. Have you had the macadamia nut pancakes?
No, I have not, because I don't like pancakes very much. And Susie went with that that bounty, that platter or whatever.
Oh, and that had it on there, I think.
Yeah, yep.
So that was my favorite of the three, the macadamia nut pancakes. They were so good. The pineapple sauce on top was good. The pancakes were just how I like them, and they had the macadamia nuts cooked inside, but they were, like, real crunchy. So every bite you had, like, a crunchy macadamia nut in there. It was really, really good. And the Loco Moco, I have to say, I wasn't 100% impressed with it. I had the highest expectations for it, so maybe it just didn't live up. Mm-hmm. But they had, the gravy was really good. The chorizo gravy that they made for it, the eggs were fine. The rice was okay, but the hamburger patty, like, I was looking forward to it. It was, like, basically a quick-serve hamburger patty just tossed in there.
Okay.
Like, it had no flavor. Like, it wasn't juicy. Like, you know, if you get a nice hamburger patty, you cut into it, and it, like, the fat kind of comes out?
Mm-hmm.
This was, like, a dried-out, quick-serve hamburger patty that had been sitting on the warmer for a while. Just not...
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Like, no flavor to it. It really took away from the dish. But everything else was good. All the other components were very good. If they just upgraded the hamburger patty, they could have a big-time winner on their hands. So I was a little disappointed with that. I got the French press Kona coffee, which was very, very good. I split that with Sue. I was a big fan of that. And overall, the experience was good. The service was good. I liked the atmosphere in there. I liked the open feel into the lobby. And the food was fantastic. The Tonga toast, so good. That strawberry sauce,
excellent. Now, that was your first time there for anything. Not just breakfast, for anything. That was your first time.
Correct.
Yeah, that is a cool restaurant. I do like that openness to the lobby. It's cool. Really, it's nice.
I'd love to try it for dinner, because I like sushi, and they have some pretty good options there. That's not a place I think Frank would really enjoy, because he's not as adventurous. So that's kind of like what I was talking about with Mama Melrose. Like, our palates don't necessarily line up, because he wouldn't be caught dead eating sushi or a lot of the offerings there.
I had a good steak. I got a steak there that was really good one night.
Yeah, they do have a couple steaks on the menu that I've seen, but really a big fan of Kona. It was excellent. And then we got on the monorail from there and headed over to the Magic Kingdom. And we had a very leisurely day at the Magic Kingdom. It was not very crowded. This was November 1st. Not very crowded.
And this is a Wednesday, I
believe? Yeah, this was Wednesday.
Okay.
It was before all the crowds came in for the marathon and everything, and obviously during the week is a lot less crowded. So we basically just kind of moseyed around. We had some fast passes, but we weren't, like, married to anything. We ended up doing Country Bear Jamboree. We did the Jungle Cruise. We did Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, I think we had a Thunder Mountain Fast Pass that we went on. I did Small World. A couple things. We ended up doing People Mover and Carousel of Progress, as you obviously have to do. And that was about it. We just kind of took our time, and then we were sitting around in Adventureland, and I grabbed a citrus swirl. This was probably maybe 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock at this point. And we're sitting there, and we had had that big breakfast, so we weren't really hungry for lunch, but we were trying to figure out what we were going to do for dinner. So we're sitting down having our ice cream, and I pull up on the app. I was like, oh, here's what's available for reservation. We're going through all the options, and we're like, oh, we could go over to Animal Kingdom and grab a quick service or something, or maybe we could do this. And then what popped up as an available option? The Grand Floridian Cafe. And it doesn't take much to convince Por Favor Frank to go to Grand Floridian Cafe.
It really doesn't. That's his favorite restaurant, isn't it?
He did say that while we were there. He said, I think this is my favorite place. And it's so good, that place. I mean, that's my second time going there. And I didn't get sick this time, so I was able to really enjoy it. But yeah, it's fantastic. But the best part, Bill, was that we left Magic Kingdom at like 3 o'clock maybe.
And you didn't go back.
And we didn't go back. We just went over on the boat to Grand Floridian.
Isn't that a nice boat ride?
It is very
nice.
It's
a great boat ride.
Actually, did we do the boat or the monorail? I can't remember. Either way, we got over to the Grand Floridian, and we just sat in the lobby for like 2.5 hours.
I just want to let you know I'm getting a little teary-eyed right now, so just give me some time, okay? Keep going.
Went up to Meisner's, got a beer, Sue got a cocktail, sat down at one of the comfortable couches in the lobby, listened to the orchestra and the piano player going back and forth. Went into the little shop down on the ground floor and grabbed a can of beer to refill my glass after I finished that. And so we're sitting there a couple hours later, and you know, we're all getting hungry. Our reservation was for maybe like 6:30, but...
And you're sitting there in the most beautiful setting in the world, and you're saying, I see what Por Favor Mike...
Oh, it was great. We loved it. Yeah, it was gorgeous. It was nice and relaxing. We didn't have to run around. It was just, it was all very nice. And we decided, we'll check in early, see if we can get seated. Again, place was dead, deserted, no one in there. I mean, there's never anyone in that place, is there?
No.
So it was completely deserted. We go in, we get seated right away.
I'll tell you what, though, when you pose that question, it's pretty busy. Breakfast time around 9, 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Oh, okay, I believe that. I'm thinking more for dinner, but yeah. We had onion soup, obviously, which is good. That's the best onion soup on property, I think. I think it edges out Chef de France.
Chef de France, yes, I would agree with that.
I had the shrimp and grits.
I'm not a grits guy, but how were the prongs? Were they pretty good size?
I have a picture of it right here. There were 6 big-sized shrimp on it. Big ones, like 3-bite shrimp. 6 of them, and then the shadis gravy, which has, like, full chunks of shadis, like, all over the place. Like, probably a good half pound of shadis in that gravy.
Oh, Jesus.
And a ton of grits. It was so good. So good. The grits, I'm on board. I'm a grits guy now. I think that meal converted me. And then, Por Favor Sue got this lobster thermidor burger, so it had, like, a lobster sauce splattered all over this burger on a brioche bun with a Parmesan crisp on top. And Frank got the Grand Cafe sandwich with onion rings, which is ham, turkey, cheese, bacon, all good stuff. And yeah, that was a good meal. I had half of the burger as well,
yeah,
so I ate the shrimp. I ate the shrimp and grits, and I said, you know what? I missed out on my hamburger last time because I wasn't feeling good.
I brought that bad boy and ate it the next day.
And so I was able to make up for lost time, and I had that
hamburger.
Now,
how was that thing?
It was good. It was very good. I don't know if I gave... I mean, the shrimp and grits I liked better, but if I ate them in the other order, like when I was super hungry, if I ate the burger first, I might change my tune a little bit, you know? That's one of those things where being super hungry probably helped. So we had our meal. My parents decided they were going to go back to the room and relax, and I wanted to go to Disney Springs and catch some of Game 7 of the World Series. So I got on a bus from the Grand Floridian to Disney Springs. walked around a little bit, and finally settled
you,
on
do
going.
Do you pretend that you're a high roller when you're with all those high-class citizens heading over the spring
yeah, exactly.
on the Floridian bus? Or...
Yeah, exactly. Get off the bus. Like, start looking at the people getting off the Pop Century bus, like, turn my nose up at them. Pop Century. Yeah. On the Grand Floridian bus. And then got over there, walked around, tried to find a spot. I finally decided on the Lava Lounge at the Rainforest Cafe. Have you ever seen this joint? You know what I'm talking about here?
I've had dinner there a couple times.
Okay,
I've,
so actually, you know yeah. the main entrance to the Rainforest mm-hmm, Cafe, sure, you yeah. like go in through the shop, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look off to your left, there's like a little cave that you can walk through and you go down. And there's a bar with some tables along the water, and that's the Lava Lounge, and that's okay. seat yourself. So you can just walk right in, grab a table, and full menu and everything. And they had the game on the TVs. I had some Tall Boy Bud Lights on tap and watched the game. And it was a good game. That was the Astros. They won. So it was like 5-1. I left in like the seventh inning because I wanted to get back. I was starting to get tired, so I wanted to get back. So I was leaving Disney Springs, and on the way out, you know, I got that little rumble in my stomach.
Oh, no.
That little one after you've had a couple beers, you know what I mean? Where you're like, I could use some really filthy grease right now. And I remember I was watching a YouTube of Disney Food Blog, and they said one of the best snacks at Disney Springs is if you go to the Morimoto Street Food Stand, which is on the backside of the Morimoto restaurant. It's like a quick serve location. They have Morimoto's famous ribs. So I was like, all right, I'll go for an order of these. And they're, it was supposed to be like three ribs for $10. So I was like, all right, it'll be a nice little snack. Some, you know, three ribs. It was the end of the night. They were like closing up shop. They filled up this like to-go container with like maybe 10 to 12 of these ribs, Bill. Just filthy, like goopy, juicy, like Asian ribs. And they were fall off the bone. So tender, so good. I just devoured them all like a dirty animal. I was just sitting there by myself, just licking my finger. Oh, they were so good, Billy.
Now, this is amazing because what you're saying is that you had an entree and a half at the Grand Floridian Cafe.
And soup.
And soup. And then you started filling yourself up with sauce, and then you went with a dozen filthy, wet ribs from Morimoto's. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct, sir.
Okay, all right. I'm just... And making sure fantastic. That I didn't miss a day or we're on day number 3.5
no.
or what.
Okay. No. They were so good. They were so good I didn't even stop to get a picture of them. I just ate them. And you know what the best part is? We'll segue into the next morning. Is that I was up and at them early the next morning feeling good. Like fresh as a daisy, Bill. Even after finishing off my night with some greasy ribs. Wake up. Epcot has... early morning hours, so I said, you know what, I'll head over to the best place in the world, Epcot Center. And I was actually the first person in line to swipe my magic band at the turnstile, if you could believe it. I've never done that before. I was there like a half hour before the park opened and got right up, and I ended up going over, walk into that the Frozen ride, because I wanted to take a video for
still
your Gina.
I still have yet to do that one.
It's good, Bill. You'd like it. I mean, Maelstrom was better, fit better, but it's good. It's a good ride. So I did that, walked around a little bit. I wanted to go through World Showcase and go over to France to the bakery and get some dirty filth for breakfast from the bakery, but they didn't open until 9. And you couldn't walk through from Norway, so I would have had to go all the way around by Canada. So I said, you know what, forget that. So I left after the Frozen ride, and I went over to the land, and Soarin' was a 10-minute wait, so I was like, you know what, I'll just get on Soarin' by myself. So I went
Let's
on Soarin'.
Make believe your tiny little sea.
Oh, don't worry, I'll get there. So I hop on Soarin', no wait, very nice. After Soarin', I'm like, you know what, I'm ready for some breakfast. So I go over... I already had nice coffee at this point. I get it at Joffrey's.
This episode of ResortLoot.com podcast is brought to you by Joffrey's Coffee and Tea Company.
Okay, I have to say, the iced coffee at Joffrey's is very good. I had it almost every day of the trip, their iced coffee. I got the Bounty Platter at Sunshine Seasons for breakfast. It had the lousy scrambled eggs, some bacon, hash browns, and a... Cinnamon French toast bread pudding was the option there. It was very good. I liked the bread pudding a lot. The bacon was actually pretty good for Disney bacon, and the hash browns are good. The eggs are as you would expect. The rest of that day, though, I met up with Frank and Sue, and we did some eating around the world. And our first stop, we went to the Flavors from Fire booth, Bill. Now, if you remember our preview, this had a lot of good options. So we ended up getting everything on that menu. So we had the sweet corn pancake with spicy sausage and bacon with the onion jam. The piggy wings and the smoked corned beef, basically a corned beef Reuben on potato chips. And I would have to say that the best thing, maybe the best thing I had at any Food and Wine booth, was that corned beef. It was very, very good. Very flavorful. Tasted just like a Reuben. The chips
were
good.
Now, was it a thick cut or was it more of a sandwich cut?
Of the corned beef?
Yes, sir.
It was shredded. It was like a shredded corned
like
beef. Yeah,
shredded kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So it was perfect for sharing and a good portion, too. A nice size. The wings were good. You just got two wings, but they were pretty meaty. And the pancake was probably my least favorite of the three, but I still liked it a lot. It was very good. Frank didn't like it that much. He didn't like the pancake, but I thought it was a good option to start the day off. And then we were moving along, and Frank tried that spam hash from the Hawaii booth.
Oh, come on.
And he liked it. I tried it. I didn't like it. It was too salty. Like the potatoes, the teriyaki sauce that was on it was way too salty. I wasn't a big fan of it. But he seemed to enjoy it. Then we went to the craft beer flight. I got the Eastern Florida flight, which I'm sure you're really interested in. But the Florida Beer Company had a triple chocolate milk stout that was excellent. I liked that a lot. But they also had the Epcot 35 stuff set up in there, which has like all models and pictures of from when Epcot opened and some of like the early drawings of like concept art and stuff, which was cool that they had that in there. I like that aspect of it. I ended up going to, I think, the Farm Fresh booth or one of those, and they had that that fried chicken with the red-eye gravy on the cornbread, Bill. Okay. Remember talking about that? That was pretty good. I liked that a lot. The gravy was excellent. So I ended up, I was going through trying to figure out where I wanted to go next on the booths, and I remembered the episode where we had Schaefer on. We were talking about snacks that we wanted to try.
Okay.
And the Epcot one that he mentioned was at the patisserie, and it was that bacon and cheese thing. Remember we changed our picture to that?
Correct, yes, our profile picture, yep.
I had that thing, Bill, and if this was an X-rated podcast, I would use some four-letter words to describe it. It was so good.
Was it really?
Oh, Bill, it's worth going there just for that. Honestly, the next time you go,
get
that thing. You will not be disappointed.
Describe this in its entirety, please.
So the best way to describe it is like a cinnamon bun filled with bacon and like the best cheese you'll have, melted, nice and warm. It was dough. It was like a pizza crust, but not like the crispy, like a nice doughy, like perfectly cooked pizza crust filled with just really good bacon and a really good cheese.
And what is this called?
I don't even remember. It's basically just like a bacon and cheese pinwheel.
But it's
I
at
think.
The France Quick Serve.
The bakery, yeah. It's good. It's like $3.95 too. It's only $4. A great deal. It's huge too. You could split it between two people easily for a snack for $4. So I had that thing.
Would you like me to potentially maybe get a bunch of these and put it like in a pastry box and wrap it up and mail it to you?
That would be good. I don't know how it would hold with like the meat and the cheese like in transit, but yeah, that wouldn't be the worst thing I've ever heard. Bill, they're good. You got to check that place out. I'm telling you. That thing alone is worth it. So that was like that was all I really did for food, because I was getting full, and I knew we had something very important on the horizon for dinner. Should we get into this, or you want me to save this for next week?
Is this the same day?
This is the same day. You want me to finish up the day?
Yeah, let's finish up the day, and then we'll just go to our second break, sure.
So, after Epcot, I actually ended up going back, taking a little nap at the room for a while, because we had a late dinner reservation at Disney Springs, because Por Favor Catherine and Mary were meeting us at Disney Springs for our dinner reservation at Florida Homecoming Kitchen, Art Smith. And Bill, this place exceeded expectation. This place was talked up to the nth degree. Like, everyone who's been there said it's amazing. And I went in with those expectations, and it was better than I thought.
So you went in with huge, huge expectations, and you're saying they exceeded them.
I was expecting it to be one of the best meals I've had at Disney, and it definitely lived up to that.
All right, just go. Just go. I'm not going to say a word.
I mean, you had this chicken 2 days afterwards, and you were like, oh my God, this is so good.
Correct.
Cold, out of a refrigerator 2 days later, and you got it. You understood what we were talking about.
I did, yes.
Imagine having that filth fresh and hot on the plate, a little bit of hot sauce on top of it. Oh, so good. And the bisque, everything. I mean, I got the regular fried chicken platter. Comes with the mashed potatoes with a homemade, like, bacon gravy or something ridiculous. The gravy was good. Mashed potatoes were perfect. Their biscuits are phenomenal. Like a cheddar cheese, just perfect biscuit. Amazing. And the chicken was so good. Oh, God, I'm looking at it right now. They have you get a breast, a leg, and a boneless chicken thigh. So three big pieces. That chicken thigh, the boneless chicken thigh was so good. That was probably the best piece of chicken I had out of the three. But I finished
boneless?
Boneless chicken thigh, fried. So you just chomp away at that thing. Not a single speck left. It was good. My mom and sister got the one with the donuts. So you get one less piece of chicken, but you get some donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a couple bucks less. I would definitely... I mean, it's going to be hard to eat the whole meal regardless. I mean, you and I can do it, but it's a lot of food. A lot of food. Most people on a Disney vacation don't want to carry leftovers around. So maybe go with the donut one because you get one less piece of chicken, but you don't get the biscuit. You get the donuts instead of the biscuit, and the biscuit was one of my favorite things.
Or my suggestion is if you have Cousin Eddie coming up to spend the night and use a bed, go with the extra piece and then let Cousin Eddie have that piece of chicken before he heads back to Sarasota.
That would be my
suggestion.
Poor Four Mary got the fried chicken sandwich, which she said was very good. Comes with, like, house-made chips. And then Frank and I got the regular chicken platter, and then Catherine and Sue got the one with the donut. And everyone was very happy with their choices. It was an excellent meal. No complaints. We even got, like, the hush puppies and a basket of biscuits as an appetizer, which was a big mistake because no one could eat after that, except for me. I ate a lot. I was very hungry for some reason. Probably because the food was so good. I wouldn't say I was, like, hungry. I just didn't want to stop eating it because it was so good.
Mm-hmm.
You've been in that situation before, I'm sure.
Yeah, when I go to a steakhouse, I can't stop eating steak for some reason.
Like, if that fried chicken was at Hoop-Dee-Doo Review, you'd have to make reservations for that place at 180. It's that good. I'm surprised that... Wow. If Art Smith
was... And Hoop-Dee-Doo is some of your favorite chicken,
It's around. Really good. It was my favorite until this. Mm-hmm. This was better by a lot. That's saying something. I can't talk this place up.
Bill, you'll have to do a YouTube and look for Emeralds, Florida because he's with Chef Art Smith.
Oh, I've watched that one. Yeah.
That's a great one, isn't it?
It is very good. I didn't know that it could live up to these expectations, and it definitely did. This is going to be one of those places that's going to be hard not to go to every time I'm at Disney.
Wow.
It's that good.
So this is your Frank's Grand Floridian Cafe.
It's hard to not say it's my favorite that I've been to. Maybe it's not my favorite restaurant, but it's probably the favorite food I've eaten there.
Okay.
That one dish. I haven't tried enough to say it's like the best restaurant that they have, but it's in the running. And it's pretty moderate. Like that fried chicken platter was like $26.
Yeah,
that's a lot of food.
$26. Yeah, that's a good price point. That's a great price point.
So I might have to, when I go in February with the girls, we might have to make a little lunch stop there or something at Disney Springs. So if you want to meet us up at Disney Springs,
maybe that can be our first time.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the worst thing.
Or maybe as it comes closer, we can make that reservation.
Sure. It was excellent. And definitely, you got to try that. I know you don't, a lot of times when you go, you hang out at a resort, but next time you go up, go to Disney Springs and even just like pop into the bar and grab some of the chicken or something there. You got to try it.
Yeah, it's definitely one on Susie's radar, huge time.
And I've heard from numerous people that the cake there, the moonshine cake that they have, I think Doug Willing said it's like the best thing he's ever eaten, the moonshine cake. And he's a foodie like us, a Disney foodie. There was no room for dessert. I mean, I usually can make room for dessert. Not even a thought. It couldn't even cross my mind to have a dessert.
Wow.
It was fantastic, though. I guess we can take a break now. Talk about the rest of the trip. I mean, that's a good way to end the first part, isn't it?
Yeah, with one of your favorite all-time restaurants, of course it's a good time to take a break.
It was so good, Billy.
I'm going to have to watch a YouTube when we get off now.
Oh, on the Art Smith? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch a YouTube tonight.
I'll send you the pictures. Well, you saw them on the Facebook page because I was posting them. Oh, it was so good, Bill. Good service, too. I have to say, our waiter that we had, really nice guy. Quick service. They turned it around quick. It was late. Our reservation wasn't until almost 10 o'clock because girl's flight was late. But that place was still, like, completely packed. Like, tables coming in after us. As we were leaving, people were still getting seated. So they must seat till almost midnight there.
Wow.
Which is crazy. And the place was still pretty crowded as we were leaving. And just, you know, quick service, good attentive service from the wait staff. I was happy about that. Everything, it was just a good, everything about it was good. I guess that's all. I don't have anything else to add.
I'm speechless right now, Billy.
It was excellent. Let's go to our second break here, Bill.
All right, sounds good.
Just make believe you're a tiny little seed. A tiny little seed that's reaching up to meet your need. With the right amount of faith and the right amount of earth, you'll grow to see the sunshine on your day of birth. Let's listen to the land we all love. Nature's plan will shine upon. Listen to the land. Let's listen to the land we all love. Nature's plan will shine upon. Listen to the land. Listen to the land. When springtime comes, how can you tell? The air is always filled with orange blossom smell. Come summertime, the warmest sunshine, and the world is full of flowers and good melon rinds. Let's listen to the land we all love. Nature's plan will shine upon. Listen to the land. Listen to the land. Let's listen to the land we all love. Nature's plan will shine upon. Listen to the land. Listen to the land. When autumn falls, it's a harvest show. With north winds blowing all the seeds that it must sow. Come winter time, the rain must fall. Till once again the new year and the springtime call. Let's listen to the land we all love. Nature's plan will shine upon. Listen to the land. Listen to the land. Let's listen to the land we all love. Nature's plan will shine upon. Listen to the land.
All right, we're back from break. This is episode 194 of the Por Favor podcast. So Klinsman, just what'd you ramble off at 3 days of your vacation?
Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Well, because on Friday and Saturday you were there, so we kind of went through some of that, so that'll be a little quicker to go through next week. But
I'll tell you, that was a fireworks finale if I've ever heard one.
Oh, man, I have to say, that place was so good. Art Smith, definitely. I almost want to tell people not to go because I don't want it to be a hard reservation to get. I don't want to turn it into Le Cellier where people start like flocking to the place and Disney's like, oh, we can start charging more money for this stuff. All of a sudden, it's $56 for a piece of fried chicken, and you can't get a reservation, and it's right. 2 credits, you know?
Right, yep.
Like, it's almost too good to be true, and I don't want it to end. I want it to last as long as possible. Yeah, good stuff.
And I assume it's like a Twin Oaks where everything on the menu sounds good.
Everything on there sounds good. Like, I was close to not getting the fried chicken plate.
Which you can't, because if it's your first time, you got to go with the chicken.
Well, listen, they have an appetizer that's like little sliders, like fried chicken sliders, like little pieces of chicken thigh deep fried on a bun with like a honey cayenne pepper sauce on it. And I was like, if I get that for an appetizer, that's like wetting my whistle of the chicken, and then I can get, you know, something else for my main course. But I'm glad I didn't do that. I was very happy with my meal. But maybe next time I'll try something different, and then, you know, if Por Favor wife orders the chicken, there's no way she's going to eat 3 pieces. Or maybe your Gina. I'll get your Gina to order the big $26 plate. She'll have like two bites of the wing, and I'll be like, just give it to Daddy. Bring it over here.
That's a good game plan right there.
That's one of the best things about having kids is eating the leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a big perk. I have nothing else to add. We could probably wrap this up now.
Yeah, this is getting to be a long episode.
When we start talking food, and it always goes long, doesn't it?
It just keeps going long and long and long. Yeah.
How many rides did we talk about? Yeah.
Like a few, yeah.
Yeah, I just mentioned them in passing, and then it's like, all right, we'll spend a good 23 minutes on Art Smith and another 10 on Mama Melnick's.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Oh, that is beautiful. Yeah, we'll wrap this up. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Por Favor Podcast. You can email the show, info@PorFavorPodcast. You can email me, Mike, at Por Favor Podcast. You can follow me personally on Twitter at Por Favor Mike. Listen to us, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Or what is it? Is it Google Play? No, what is it?
Yes, that's right.
Google Play. Search for us at Por Favor Podcast. Mr. Klinsman, you want to plug your YouTube's channel?
Yeah, youtube.com/PorFavorPodcast, and my email is gary@PorFavorPodcast.com.
Beautiful. For my cousin up in Westerly, Rhode Island, I'm Mike down in sunny Southwest Florida. Thanks for listening to episode 194 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejandro de los Podcast. We'll talk to you next week. We'll be right back.